Now, I'm excited not only to be in Jerusalem. You know, most of the Manifest telecast, people said to me, do you live in Israel? Because what we do, we come here on back-to-back trips, and we tape 30 programs, so hopefully 35, and that covers about 7 to 8 months out of a year. So that's why you see me so much in Israel. Very seldom do we do a rerun. So if you're watching this right now, it'll be a new program from Jerusalem. And the reason I'm saying that is if you've seen me stand here before. And what's really crazy is people remember the clothes you wear. I mean, they do. George, I think it's a rerun. Well, why? I've seen that shirt before, okay? So these jeans are new, this is new, and this is new. So it is a new program, so we want you to know that. So, it's going to be one of those days, I warned you. We're going to show that Manifest telecast where I lost it completely and started laughing. Lord, please don't let that happen today. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I want to, I've written this down. I want to make sure I have it right the way I need to share it with you. The Old Testament conceals the New Testament, meaning that what occurred in the New Testament with the birth, life, ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus are recorded in prophecy, for example, in Isaiah chapter 53, Psalms 22. What is interesting is, and I think this is what started me on studying the Bible from the patterns of the Old Testament to reveal how the patterns of the Old Testament reveal the truths that are found in the New Testament. For example, Numbers 21, you have Numbers 19, you have the burning of a red heifer. He's burnt without the camp. The priest looked on, cedarwood, hyssop, and scarlet. And that's in the crucifixion story. Jesus crucified without the camp. The priests are watching. They put hyssop to his mouth. They put a scarlet robe on him. Remember that before he went to the cross? And he's crucified on a wooden cross. Numbers 21, a brass snake on a pole. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. One of the things that impressed me was a verse I read years ago in Luke where Christ has resurrected. A lot of people are not aware of it yet. He's on the road to Emmaus, which is outside of Jerusalem several miles, walking with two men who were his disciples, and their eyes were restrained from knowing who he was for some reason. And it says that he began to expound with them the prophets, which are Old Testament prophets, and the law and the Psalms concerning him. The reason I'm sharing that with you is one of the most amazing studies that helps me to prove two things. Prophecy in the Bible is 100% accurate. And number two, that the Bible is absolutely the only book in the world that can be considered totally inspired of Almighty God. It's something that the Bible does that, honestly, I'll be honest with you guys that are Muslim, the Quran doesn't do it. The works of Buddha doesn't do it. Shintoism doesn't do it. There's no religion that does what I'm about to show you. Now, first of all, before we go into this parallel, that's amazing. This is what you're about to see today is absolutely stunning. This is how you prove Jesus is the Messiah. If you understand what I'm about to show you, no way possible a human man could relive the events of a man who lived thousands of years before him. Not quite thousands, probably about 1,400 years before him. And repeats everything in detail. When you go to the Old Testament, it conceals stories that when you study the story, you see it repeated again in the ministry and life of Jesus. One of the verses I've used for years is Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10. It'll come on the screen. That which has been is that that will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. Now, what I'm going to show you is the life of Samson. And I'm going to show you, and I'm going to give you the reference, hopefully, and I apologize because I'll be very honest with you. I'm dyslexic with numbers. And when I see numbers, I switch them. Every Manifest telecast, when I quote a verse, if I say Matthew 12, 24, it's Matthew 24, 12, okay? So if you've ever seen me for 14 to 16 years quoting a verse and it's backwards, just understand, I read numbers backwards. Now, my wife says I'm typing too fast. I don't know, but so I'm going to try to go to the book of Judges, and we're going to talk about Samson. We're going to use Judges 13, 14, Judges 15, all the way through. And let me look at my outline here to make sure I've got it right, because we want to make sure we 16. So it's Judges 13, 14, 15, 16. All right, then I'm going to show you the parallel of Jesus that runs so similar to Samson. Now, this is, again, this is how you know that this is real. For example, several years ago, a man who is a scientist researched the law of probability of one man taking eight different prophecies from the Old Testament and being able in his lifetime to fulfill those eight. For example, being born of a virgin. That's a difficult one. Being sold for 30 pieces of silver. Dying with your hands being pierced. It's Psalms 22. Isaiah 53, being buried in a rich man's grave. So he took eight different prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, etc., Malachi, being born in Bethlehem. He had to be born in Bethlehem, the Messiah did. And he calculated, now this is so crazy, it doesn't even sound possible, but I studied this out and researched. This man is very, he's a mathematician, and he says this, for one man to come along and fulfill eight different prophecies by eight different prophets written hundreds of years apart would be equal to taking the state of Texas and filling it up with silver dollars. Like, let's take just a silver dollar. 2 feet deep. So picture the whole state of Texas covered with silver dollars 2 feet deep. 2 feet deep. Take a red one, paint it red, and then throw it in the mix and just mix them all up. Tell nobody where you threw it. Tell nobody where you put it. Take a blind man and blindfold him, fly him in a helicopter, and say he's got one shot to find the red one. For you who know math, because I'm not the math genius, trust me, it's 1 in 10 in the 17th power, which means, let's say if I were to say your chances of finding where I hide this is 1 in 10. Your chances are 1 in 50. You know the law of probability. The chance of them winning this game is 50%, okay? The law of probability is 1 in 10 with 17 zeros behind it. It's a number that I couldn't even calculate. Yet, not only did Jesus fulfill those eight prophecies that this man studied, that the Old Testament prophets wrote, but they've calculated, these are scholars, that you can find directly 39 direct ones about his life, death, burial, resurrection, ministry that Jesus fulfilled. So what is the law of probability now? If we move eight prophecies into 39 prophecies, one man fulfilling eight is 1 in 10 in the 17th power. So one man fulfilling 39, there's so many zeros behind that. You can't even, are you checking out what I'm saying? I say at home, are you tracking with me? Now, let's do this right quick because I don't want to run out of time. Samson's birth is predicted by an angel, Judges 13, 2 through 3. Christ's birth is predicted by an angel, Luke 1, 26 through 31. The angel told the mother first and then the father in Judges chapter 13, 11 about Samson's birth. Gabriel told Mary first and then revealed it to Joseph, Luke 1:26, Matthew 1:18-21. Samson was told he would be a deliverer to his people, Judges 13:5, and Christ is said that he would deliver his people in Matthew 1:21. The Bible says in Judges 13:24, Samson grew and was blessed, and it says in Luke 2:40 that Christ also grew and was blessed. Samson was moved on by the Holy Spirit when he was young in Judges 13:25. Christ was anointed by this with wisdom at age 12, very young. That's in Luke chapter 2, verses 42 through 49. Samson defeated a young lion that attacked him, Judges 14:5-6. And Jesus defeated Satan, the roaring lion, on the Mount of Temptation. In Luke chapter 4, 1 through 13. Samson spoke in riddles to his bride in Judges 14, 12 through 18. And Christ spoke in riddles called parables to his bride. Luke 8, 4 through 10. Samson did not marry a Jewish bride, but a Gentile. Genesis 14, 1 through 4. Christ eventually chose the Gentiles to be part of his bride, Acts 13, 44 through 48. Samson had seven locks that represented his covenant and his anointing, locks of hair, in Judges 16, 17 to 19, and Christ was anointed with the seven spirits of God, Revelation 1, 1 through 8. Samson was anointed to defeat Israel's enemies in all chapters. And in Luke 4, 18 through 19, Jesus came and predicted he would defeat the kingdom of Satan in all areas. Samson was angry and set his enemies' fields on fire in Judges 15, 3 through 5. Christ, in anger, overturned the money changers. Well, in John 2, I wish I could get some help up in here. Sean, I'm going to run. This is just amazing to me, all right? And the money changer's story is John chapter 2, 13 through 17. Look at this. Samson was betrayed for money. Remember, they offered Delilah silver to betray him. Woo! Judges 16, 16 through 9, Christ was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver for money. Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Samson appeared to have been defeated in Judges 16, 21. And in Matthew 27, at the crucifixion, Christ appeared to have been defeated. Samson's enemies rejoiced in his defeat. Judges chapter 16 and verse 24. And Christ's enemies were happy with his death. Matthew 27, 25. Samson was mocked by his enemies. Judges 16, 25. Christ was mocked on the cross, Matthew 27, 29. Samson appeared to be spiritually dead. Remember that? Judges 16, 21 through 25. And Christ was dead and laid in a tomb. We're getting ready to shout now. In Matthew 28. I'm sorry, Matthew 27, 60. Samson made a mighty and unexpected comeback. There it is. And Jesus made a comeback by raising from the dead. All right, look, I'm going, you know, he said, run through a troop and leap over a wall. Excuse me, I'm on my way back. Change my mind. All right, I'm not finished preaching yet. Now, here's a good one. Ready? This is a good one. Samson killed 3,000 enemies in his death, Judges 16:30, and 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. And honestly, this is the part that, I'm going three different directions. I got a rabbit trail. So let me pull one of them down right here. People have asked me, now you saw what we just did there. We took a parallel of something which has been to show you how it will be repeated again in history. Years ago, and I'm not trying to bring up old messages, but I remember in 1992, this was 3 days after the 1992 election of the Clintons. I was in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee at the Grand Hotel, and I said, Lord, give me a word. And the Lord spoke to me. Now, this happened. Now, there's eyewitnesses. There's partners. In fact, Rob and Tammy here and Charlie, they were at that meeting. The Lord said, "This the same spirit that was on Ahab and Jezebel will come to Washington." And looking back on it, let me just share this with you. But looking back on it, Ahab, they lived in an ivory house. And, of course, that the first family lived in a white house. He was assaulted by a lying spirit. The only place in the Bible a lying spirit was mentioned was with Ahab. Bill Clinton was impeached for lying. She signed papers in his name over a land deal. Naboth's land deal. That's the Rose Law Firm. Naboth, an innocent man, is slain. Vince Foster, connected to the land deal, is found dead. Oh, you don't want to go there with me, I don't think. It got to the point that I found about 12 parallels when it was all said and done over 8 years. And I predicted in the 1990s, she would go after the Ivory House because she was in the house after he was gone. And we know the story. When I do studies like this, people want to know, how did you get involved with studying like the Hebrew roots of Christianity? Because basically, my father was a pastor and he preached from the New Testament. And we didn't preach much from the Old. It wasn't because we didn't believe in it. We just preached from the New Testament. The answer is twofold. To be honest with you, it all started when I came to Israel the first time in the 1980s. My guide, Gideon Shore, told me about the earthquake fault line on the Mount of Olives, showed me how the Dead Sea was drying up and it was helping fulfill Ezekiel chapter 47, showed me the birds of prey in the Golan Heights or the Bashan area. And the Bible says that in this great war of Gog and Magog, the birds of prey will eat the flesh of captains and kings and people. That's in Ezekiel 38, 39. So my prophetic interest started by coming to this land and realizing that these were things not being reported. In my earlier days, I would go to revivals. Sometimes they would go 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 11 weeks in one church. And on Saturday night, I would have a prophecy update night. And we had camera guys that would, not video, that would follow me around taking slide pictures. And I would do a prophecy update with slide pictures. And I remember it was the largest night of the meeting. People would stand around the walls to watch. And we'd all get excited about what was not being reported over in America that was actually a part of biblical prophecy that was now being fulfilled in Israel. So that triggered that. But when I began to study the Bible with a what we call the Hebraic perspective, which a lot of our Bible schools in America will teach Greek, but they don't concentrate on Hebrew. But when you understand that the New Testament was written by men with a Hebrew mind, when you understand that Jesus was considered a rabbi teacher, and you understand the Old Testament and you understand the patterns, this is how you prove that Christ is the Messiah, is by going to the stories that are 1,000 years older than him. I want to say older than him. I mean, he was eternal. But when he was born in Bethlehem, the stories that are 800 years, 1,000 years, 1,500 years to the time of Moses, older than him, and these events that are taking place. I'll give an example, and I'm kind of shooting from the hip here, which sometimes is my favorite way of teaching. I have a lot of people who write me, and they said, if the rapture, and you talk about the word rapture, Perry, you talk about the coming of the Lord, etc., but if the rapture were true, then it should be found in the Torah. And they get shocked when I tell them it is. And they say, no, it's not. I said, no, you haven't read. I can take you to where they came out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, the water baptism of the Red Sea, and I can show you that when they got into the wilderness, now watch this, God came down with the sound of a trumpet on Mount Sinai. It's called Tekiah HaGodolah, which is a long and loud blast because it said the trumpet lasted loud and long, okay? That's what happens in 1 Thessalonians 4 at the coming of the Lord for the church. Then it says there was lightning, and it says in Matthew that Jesus' coming is like lightning. And it says there was thunder and voices. And the coolest part is it says this, and the Lord came down and Moses went up. And then if you come into the New Testament, the Lord descends from heaven. He comes down and we who are alive and remain are what? Caught up. So I went to Exodus 19 and showed about seven, if I remember right, six to seven major phrases or words or patterns that reveal what Paul talked about with the coming of the Lord for the church. So one of the reasons we have, pardon me, I want to say this. We have a great audience on Manifest, believe it or not, more outside of America than in America. Outside of America, it's so huge, it's almost crazy. And one of these days, and I guess I'm prophesying to myself here, God gave me a burden for America, but I know that one of these days he's going to tell me to go and preach to the nations. And I'll be in Africa, I'll be in New Zealand, I'll be in London, Singapore, and I know the day comes, and it'll be before, I believe it'll be, maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to try to predict it because people say, well, Perry said this, Perry said that, you know. But I do know that the nations of the world are interested in the deeper teaching of God. For years, for example, in some of the European, African nations, Latin American nations, they would get good basic teaching of the Bible. But I'm realizing now that people are on a level of knowledge and understanding, because Daniel said knowledge would be increased, that they desire to learn these things. Manifest was developed by the Holy Spirit. God gave me the name of it in an all-night prayer meeting. He spoke to my ear audibly, Manifest, and I heard it. And Rod Parsley, my friend, said it's the greatest name for a Christian TV program. There is Perry. But God gave us the title Manifest, and I believe that we're called to the Lord to bring you the teaching that is this, that's not just your average ABC of understanding, but to bump you up into the level of where you get hungry to read the Word. And you say, wow, I need to get into the book. I need to find this out. So our resources, I apologize to our people in foreign countries. Our resources are not available in foreign countries, but the ISO International School of the Word is going to be out into the nations of the world, and you'll be able to get courses through our internet school. Hopefully, we're going to be able to do it one day in all the nations of the world. We're doing certain nations now. But you go to voe.org and look up ISO School and see when we launch this. And maybe by the time I'm teaching, it may already be launched, because we have to teach the things of God that may not be taught to average people. And I'm saying to God be the glory for that. So this is what we like to teach, all right? So thank you for joining me. We have an offer for you. We'll come back in just a moment with some great information. So let's give the Lord a praise.
Many have asked for it, and here it is. Globally recognized as a leading Bible teacher, Perry Stone has recorded vitally important teachings in his series, The History of the Bible. With 11 teachings, this 4-DVD set will teach you how 40 men received the revelation found in the Bible. Perry will discuss topics such as, have the scriptures been altered throughout history? What 7 ancient methods did God provide to bring his word to mankind? Did you know the Bible quotes from the books of Enoch, Jasher, and the Assumption of Moses? Perry also explains why the Bible is set apart from all other religious books worldwide, how the Bible was received, recorded, and translated. He also discusses the various translations, the rabbinical and Christian methods of interpretation, and 8 literary styles found in Scripture. Details of how numerous prophecies prove the Bible is inspired, including medical and scientific facts. The missing books that are named in Scripture, The War of the Lords, Jasher, and the Book of Jehu, why Catholics accept the 14 books of the Apocrypha, but most Protestants reject them, many strange idioms and expressions that you need to understand, why the Torah was dictated directly from God's mouth to Moses' hand, rules to know when reading and interpreting the Book of Revelation and other apocalyptic scriptures, how amazing archaeological discoveries in Israel have confirmed the Bible is true, how the early pilgrims used the Geneva Bible due to their conflict with England. Perry will also reveal his personal methods of studying the Bible when he writes his books, prepares his sermons, and the Bible translations you can trust. The 4 DVDs, over 6 hours of teaching, are available for a limited time for a special price of just $65. Call us toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or order online at perrystone.org. This package is also available as video on demand from our website. Additionally, you can write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and enclose your gift of $65 or more to request package offer HB-148. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Well, greetings, everyone. We are ready to share something with you. Just give me your attention for the next few moments. You know, it's very interesting that as we have progressed over history, the past, let's say, 100 years in America, that if you go through our levels of warfare that have occurred in our nation,
You know, the original warfare, if we go back to Prohibition, was about alcohol. We come to another generation, it's about illegal drugs. We come to another generation, it's about pornography. And it seems like now that the younger generation, I'm talking about those that are under 12 years of age, are coming under attack. You have children having sex at ages 10 to 12. You have children that are taking drugs. You have children on alcohol that are drinking alcohol. They're experimenting. A lot of kids that we've met about age 11 to 12, for some reason, that seems to be the primary age, have encountered pornography and even become addicted to it. So my burden has been on this generation coming up. Now, if we don't reach them, when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, in that frame, with the truth, the word, and powerful information from God, we could lose them by the time they become teenagers. That's why we have put together this set. We actually purchased it. We're remodeling it. A lot of remodeling and repainting is being done. And this is going to be a town, and it's going to be a town that we're going to have a children's ministry going on. Now, I'll be in some of it from time to time, especially with what's called the vault over here. We don't want to show you that because it's so cluttered up. And my daughter-in-law will be a part. A lot of our youth at Omega Center International will be part of the team. Man, we have robots. We have puppets. And we have a special puppet coming. And I'll show it to you when the time comes. But it's going to be... I think it's going to be the hit, only because it is so different and so unique. We're having artists to develop our own characters. I don't want to show you those yet because we're copywriting all of that, and we don't do anything until we have everything copyrighted. That's why we're not giving you the name of the town at this point. So here's what the reason I'm sharing that with you is, in my 48 years of ministry, I've only asked for financial help one time in 48 years. Something we don't do. But there is such a need for equipment. There's such a need to hire artists. There's such a need to put all this together right now. We need your help. So would some of you consider sending a donation to the children's ministry at Voice of Evangelism? We will receive it and use it 100% for this outreach. Thank you. God bless you.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit PerryStone.org for more information.